From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Listener, here's Voice of Indonesia with the news line. The head of the National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, said the acceleration of the certificate issuance was to support the government's free nutritious meal program. During a coordination meeting on the program with the Nutrition Fulfillment Service Unit's representatives across Central Java at Jatidiri Sports Hall, Semarang City on Monday, October the 6th, he said it is a strategic step to ensure they meet operational standards set by the National Nutrition Agency. Meanwhile, to accelerate the sanitation and hygiene eligibility certificate for all nutrition fulfillment service units in the province, Central Java Governor Ahmad Lutfi encouraged health officers to strengthen mentoring and training for all kitchens. He emphasized the importance of synergy between provincial and district governments in ensuring that all units meet hygiene and sanitation standards. The 13th International Fisheries Symposium 2025 aims to strengthen regional and cooperation in achieving sustainable fisheries and marine resource management in ASEAN and beyond. The Dean of the Faculty of Fisheries and Marine Science at Diponegoro University, Agus Rianto, pointed out that Indonesia's fisheries face complex challenges, ranging from climate change to rising food prices and disease outbreaks. He further noted that local shrimp farmers are currently struggling with the price drops due to international trade disputes and contamination issues, while coral degradation and sea level rise in the Java Sea continue to threaten marine biodiversity. He then expressed hope that international collaboration and scientific exchanges at events like IFS would inspire development of collaborative solutions that can guide the future of sustainable fisheries. Building on that spirit of collaboration, the chairman of the ASEAN Fisheries Education Network, Muhammad Amin Alamsyah, highlighted that gatherings such as IFS or International Fisheries Symposium play a key role in strengthening partnerships across nations. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Sampai jumpa.
And then the World Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Listener, you're listening to the Voice of Indonesia on vonews.id, application RRI Digital, and also using the RRI Net channel, which is accessible if you are going to the rri.co.id. I'm Steve, is still going to be here with a lot of information related to Indonesia, so make sure to stay tuned with us on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, after this song by Malik The Essentials titled Senandung Senandika, you'll be listening to the interview or the viewer talk about Indonesian military's weaponry system modernization. Stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Siapa yang pernah salah? Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, Indonesian military, or here we call it as the NE, has just commemorated its 80th anniversary on October 5th. There are lots of achievements that the Indonesian military has gained. Even until now, the NE keeps on modernizing its main weaponry system and many more. To know about the achievements and how does the Indonesian military keeps on continuing its performance and modernizing its weaponry system, joining us on today's special interview, Head of Defense Information Bureau of Secretariat General of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, Brigadier General Bapak Frega Wenas Inkiriwang. Thank you so much for joining us on today's special interview, Pak Frega.
You're welcome, Barama. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. First of all, of course, we would like to say happy 80th anniversary for the Indonesian military.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pleasure is ours, Pak Frega. And as I've mentioned earlier, that Indonesia is currently and keeps on continuing the modernization of the Indonesian military defense equipment. So could you explain the latest progress of Indonesia's defense modernization program, Pak Frega?
Regarding the modernization of our national defense forces is one of the vision and commitment of our President Prabowo Subianto. And also is being implemented by our Mr. Jeffrey Samsudin. So when we talk about modernizing our defense sector, it's totally different from other sectors because when we try to procure defense equipment, weaponry, jet fighters, and many other platforms, we may need longer time to procure. And therefore, what we are currently doing is the implementation on what has been started. When he was still serving as the Minister of Defense. And at the moment, we try to focus in elevating the capacity and capability of our National Defense Forces, comprising from the Army, Navy, and Air Force. So we try to procure the cutting-edge technology, for example, like the fighter jets, also the frigate or the combat ships, also the patrol ships, and a number of transport aircraft. And we are about to also procure our submarines and a number of international strategic partners, which has been established in the past years. At the moment, we are trying to implement. And recently, we have witnessed the arrival of our two new frigates, and perhaps next month, we also welcome the arrival of our air platform, which is the transport aircraft, and by early 2026, we are also about to receive the new fighter jets that we procure from France, the Rafale. So we have a number of other platforms that we have procured, and we believe that to uphold our sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the safety of the nation, we need to have a strong and a solid national defense forces, because this is very fundamental for our country and nations. But we don't have any intention to be aggressive, because based on our foreign policy, active and free foreign policy, it means that we try to contribute to stability and peace of the world.
What about the self-reliance in the domestic defense industry? How's the Indonesian Ministry of Defense promoting it, and what concrete steps that have been taken?
So at the same time, we try to modernize by procuring the cutting-edge technology from various international strategic partners. But at the same time, we also try to nurture enhancing our national defense industry, because if there's a difficult time where countries are hesitate to sell their products, we can start to utilize our own resources. But of course, we can't work by our own. We still need partnership with our international friends. And at the moment, a number of international corporations has been also established, where we try to produce together under joint production. And by having this initiative, we also try to fulfill the demand of our national defense forces. And at the same time, we also aim to produce something that we can sell at the regional level and perhaps in the forthcoming years at the global level. Because once we have a similar capacity with other nations and other countries, especially in producing our defense armament, weaponries, be it fighters, you know, ships, aircraft, tanks, we have done this partnership, and we have also produced our own medium tank, for example, with the cooperation that we set with Turkey, also the submarines with South Korea, and we are about to start our also cooperation for the submarines with the France, and many other things that we envision. But this is very important, because when there's something, you know, the dynamic that we can't predict, well, we don't want to experience the same journey that we suffered during the embargo, where we have the funding, but we can't procure, we can't actually do the proper maintenance for our weaponries and armaments. So this is one of the steps that we require in order to ensure that our fighting force, our national defense forces, has the proper capacity and capability. And maybe if you compare with the prior years, this year we can see, and even during the 18th anniversary yesterday on 5th October, the greater number of aircraft and also ships that were involved in, you know, the sail passing and also during the fly parade yesterday. So it shows that we try to maintain our capacity and capability. And to this context, our local industry, our national defense industry, has also contributed and play their parts. Petipal for the ships, Petipindad for the army armament weaponries like the tank, and also Petidei to some extent for the aircraft and the drone. So it is essential to also build our self-reliant, and not only for our you know, identity and fulfilling the demand, but also to promote ourselves, because by having our product recognized regionally, globally, it means that we can also promote Indonesia as a whole country and nation.
And how can this modernization of Indonesian military's defense system also contribute to stability and peace in the Asia-Pacific region as part of ASEAN member country?
Oh, okay. In answering this question, let me clarify that we have to bear in mind that based on our constitution, that Indonesia is committed to contribute in preserving and maintaining global peace and stability. So we try our best to always contribute, especially under the United Nations. We have sent a number of peacekeeping missions in order to help preserve peace worldwide. And by having this modernization, it actually help us to also work together with other nations, because at the same time, not only building our own force with our own strength, with those weaponries, platforms, and equipment, but at the same time, we also try to enhance our interoperability with other military from different nations. And that's why with this modern armaments platform that we have, we regularly organize exercises where we can operate together in order to contribute to the establishment and preservation of international peace and stability. So this has been our commitment, and with this modernization is actually help facilitate the process in optimizing the effort to enhancing international peace and stability.
Okay, stability and peace worldwide, that what should be highlighted and bold. Okay.
And yes,
true. Now let's align the defense modernization effort with the government's long-term vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. How do you align it?
I think this is very fundamental. It's really closely related with the attainment of the vision itself, Indonesia 2045, because without sovereignty, without territorial integrity, and also the safety of the nation, it will be difficult and even impossible to achieve the vision. And that's why we need to modernize our defense, be it, from the army perspective, from the navy perspective, and even air force. So by ensuring that we have the proper and right capacity and capability that we require, we can uphold our sovereignty, territorial integrity, and ensure that our safety of the nation are guarded. Otherwise, we won't achieve the national stability. And that's why Minister Shafri Samsudin, our defense minister, for many times, he reiterated the point of defense supporting economy, because by having a proper national defense forces, which is capable of doing the primary task in relations with the three roles that I explained earlier, it will also contribute in supporting national stability, which is required to also foster development and also achieve prosperity. And of course, if this thing cannot be achieved or cannot be attained, it will be difficult to achieve and implement the vision of Indonesia 2045, where we will commemorate our 100 years of our independence as the golden years of Indonesia. And I think this needs a commitment from everyone, not only from the Minister of Defense, from also the civil society and other stakeholders, because when we are talking about defense is actually a part of everyone. Based on the Constitution, it is the right and at the same time responsibility of every citizen of Indonesia.
And lastly, what message would you like to convey to the international audience about Indonesia's commitment to building a modern defense force that remains focused on peace?
I think the message that I would like to convey to international audience, you don't need to worry about what we are currently doing. What we try to modernize is part of the process, because maybe international audience also remember from 1991 to 2005, we suffered from embargo a very long time, over a decade, where we could not procure, we cannot purchase, things, even for the spare parts that we need for maintenance and reparations. So what we are doing is actually the continuation of the previous program where we refer as minimum essential forces. At the moment, we are trying to integrate, and this is part of the process in helping our military, the national defense forces, modernize and also be able to conduct its tasks based on the Constitution. And I think it's normal if you want to, uphold your sovereignty and secure territorial integrity at the same time, safety of the nation, you need the proper military or national defense forces. But as I mentioned earlier in my answer to the previous questions, that Indonesia is committed to contributing to establish and preserve international stability and peace based on our constitution and also our foreign policy, free and active foreign policy. 1,000 friends are too few, while one enemy is too many. And that has been the vision of President Prabowo Subianto and has been translated by Minister of Defense Syafri Samsuddin. So we're trying to commit to replicate many, many more international cooperations with partner nations. And of course, if we will conduct this partnership and cooperation, we also need to be able to foster interoperability. And by having a modern fighting forces, modern platform, it will ensure that we can operate together for the greater sake of international peace and stability. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid with what we are currently doing. This is part only of the mandate of our constitution, where we have to ensure that we can uphold our sovereignty, secure our territorial integrity, and also safety of the nation, at the same time contributing to international peace and stability. I think that's all I want to say to our international audience, or for international partners and friends.
All right, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Inkiriwang, thank you so much for your insight about the modernization of Indonesia's military main weaponry system, keep guarding the nation and contributing to international stability and peace. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very
much. Well, listeners, that's today's special interview on the modernization of Indonesia's military main weaponry system with Head of Defense Information Bureau of Secretariat General of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Inkiriwang. Stay tuned for more insightful talks on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Satu langkah ku ke depan, dua langkah kau jejaki hariku, hatiku pun berani ku menyentuh jarimu yang malu-malu menjaga utuhku, mengalihkan seluruh duniaku. Ku ingin yang satu ini berlangsung lama.
The city's size reaches 102.47 square kilometers, with average height of 8 meters above the sea level. Palembang lies in a quite strategic location as it passes through the main road or Lintas Sumatra that connects areas on Sumatra Island. In addition, Palembang also has Musi River and Ampera Bridge that function as the means of transportation and interregional trade. Climate in Palembang is tropical, with rainfall ranging from 2,000 mm to 3,000 mm per year. Air humidity ranges from 75 to 89% with sun illumination of 45%. Soil topography is relatively superficial and low. Most of lands there, which are 0 to 20 meters above the sea level, are marshy, that they are flooded in the rainy season. Palembang people belong to Malay ethnic group and use Malay language with local dialect that is now known as Palembang language. Local people generally use Palembang language as daily language. Besides, natives, non-natives from Java, Minangkabau, Madura, Bugis, and Banjar, as well as descendants from China, Arab, and India, also live in Palembang. Listener, do you know there's an interesting thing from Palembang, which is its special traditional food? Pempek or fish cake.
Pempek kapal selam terkenal di mana-mana. Kalau makan sama cuka, alangkah lemak rasanya.
The interesting thing from Palembang is its typical traditional food, which is pempek. What is pempek? Palembang has a quite big number of Chinese communities. Foods like pempek or tekwan or soup with sago flour fish balls made from fish leave strong Chinese taste among Palembang people. Pempek is Palembang traditional food that has been popular all over Indonesia, with the local freshwater fish ikan belida and sago as the basic ingredients. Palembang people have successfully developed the basic ingredients into various kinds of pempek by varying fillings and other additional ingredients like chicken eggs, fish shell, and tahu or tofu. Various kinds of pempek in Palembang include pempek kapal selam, pempek lenjer, and so on. Palembang people usually eat pempek with blackish thick sauce made from boiled brown sugar, chili, and fried shrimp. The sauce is commonly called cuko or vinegar sauce. Here is the explanation of the Head of Information Division at Palembang Tourism Service, RM Husni, about pempek.
Pempek itu asal katanya apek-apek.
Pempek derives from the word apek-apek. Chinese people call it so. They were newly arrived in Chinese in Indonesia and male Chinese with pigtail that rode becak or pedicab. While Palembang, big people became errands. When people wanted to eat, they just asked them to buy or make food.
At first, Palembang people made food for consumption instead of for business like Chinese people wanted. First, pempek was made in Sepuluhulu, Palembang. Do you know that the basic ingredient of pempek is belida fish? About belida fish, the basic ingredients of pempek. This is what was explained by the head of information section at Palembang Tourism Service, RM Husni.
Well, Belida fish is number one because the fish is special for pempek. Pempek is made from sago, garama. The fish is belida or belido in Palembang language.
The basic ingredient of pempek is belida fish. According to people in South Sumatra, belida means a creature which is good at diplomacy. It consists of word, namely bi meaning to have and lida meaning tongue, to have a way with words. Belida fish in Indonesian language is also called lopis or belido. And how are the characteristics of belida fish, which is considered rare, threatened, and barely found in Musi River?
Lemak rasonyo. Pempek lenjer,
Bladderfish has a medium size. Maximum length is 100 cm and average weight is a half to 1 kg. In the natural habitat, it can be 2 to 4 kg. Its body shape is flat with small head and its nape looks bent over. Upper jaw is far from eyes. Small scales cover its body. Scales in its back are gray and in the front one are silverish white. In the sides of the scales, there are white circles like black balls surrounded by white circles. This is the explanation of Siddhartha Gautama from Palembang General Waters Fisheries Research Agency about Belida fish.
Belida fish has eggs with quite big diameters, and the number of eggs is not many like other fish. For instance, arowana or freshwater decorative fish has rather big eggs that the number of eggs produced is small. Some say if fish has quite big eggs, the number of eggs would be few. So Belida fish may be one of them.
Siddhartha Gautama from General Waters Fisheries Research Agency also explained that Belida fish is now rare and threatened to extinct. Siddhartha added things that cause Belida fish in the brink of extinction and no longer found in Musi River.
It is true that Belida fish is rare and hard to get. So it is impossible to use it to make pempek in Palembang. It is now substituted with other fish.
Siddhartha Gautama from the General Waters Fishery Research Agency added, though Belida fish is hard to find, one day it may emerge again in Palembang.
It is hard to find indeed, but it can be found in Kalimantan or Riau, so it does not totally extinct. In other places, there is a chance for cultivation.
Well, listener, how do people in Palembang substitute the basic ingredient of Belida fish that is about to extinct? With the rareness of Belida fish, people in Palembang use other fish to substitute the basic ingredient of pempek. Here is the statement of the head of information section at Palembang Tourism Service, R.M. Husni.
Now people in Palembang no longer use belido fish or putak, but gabus freshwater fish or ikan delek in Palembang language. It is called so because it can flow. Gabus fish on the sea is tenggiri fish or Spanish mackerel.
Do people think about the substitution of the basic ingredient of pempek from Belida fish to gabus fish? Hendri, Palembang local resident, made the following statement.
To me, gabus fish is more delicious than Belida fish.
Belida fish is considered to extinct in Palembang only. All people hold Belida fish in other areas will not extinct, so that the next generation can still see Belida fish, which is called old fish by most of Palembang people. People can also still taste the delicious typical foods from Palembang, namely pempek or fish cake without worrying the existence of pellita fish as the basic ingredient of pempek because other kinds of fish are equally delicious. Pleasure is not eternal. My lovely pempek, my poor pellita.
That's what I feel. Hold my hand and then
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN. Once upon a time, the angels took bath here. In the legend of Tutumendem, 9 angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanua, a young fawn. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mamanua make a mistake that forced Lumaludu to return to heaven. The angel said, should their child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain, with the sun guiding their path. Lumaludung will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of Tutumendem ended happily ever after. And that was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang. Away from Manado, this coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, where the light reveals the beauty of North Minahasa. Hidden behind the hills and lines of trees are the beautiful beaches of Likupang. The fresh air, the clear sky, the white sand, and the pristine water. No one can deny its temptation.
Wulisan Beach is a must-see spot in Likupang. It welcomes both the calm with the trees and the adventurers with boats, taking them to some hidden gems around Wulisan. Then the darkening and yet golden sky is not the depth of its beauty. The sunset in Likupang will show you its final glory once more before the night falls. That's the beauty of Likupang. Away from noises, anxiety, and deadlines. But believe me, it's always close to your heart. Come to Likupang. Come to your true home.
Semua indah dahulu.